Welcome to the On the Shelf podcast with host Joanna Lewis from The Pharmacist's Guide. The podcast features conversations about wellness, including nutrition, supplements, skincare, and anything else on the shelf. On top of the importance of our physical wellness, we will also touch on mental and emotional wellness throughout our episodes.
Welcome to the On the Shelf podcast, everyone. Sponsored by Pharmacy Times, this podcast focuses on anything you can find on the shelf, specifically in the drugstore, including skincare, beauty products, supplements, and over-the-counter medications. We also touch on mental, physical, and emotional wellness, and today we're going to talk about skincare and a little bit of emotional wellness. I am your host, Joanna Lewis. I am a pharmacist and creator of the online platform, The Pharmacist Guide, and our guest today is someone very special to me and someone that I have been lucky enough to develop a relationship with through social media. To me, she is such a light and inspires me every time I talk to her. She is a clinical pharmacist and creator of the skincare brand Imagen & Company, with the mission to bridge the gap between science and nature to improve your skin's health. Welcome, Allison. We are so excited to have you today.
Hey, Joanna, I'm so excited to be able to be here with you.
Awesome. So can you just give a brief introduction about yourself and why you became a pharmacist, and then maybe what inspired you to start your skincare brand?
Sure. So let's see. What inspired me to become a pharmacist? Ultimately, my first kind of choice of career was to be a large animal veterinarian. I rode horses competitively when I was younger, for several years, about 13 to 15 years. And I wanted to be a horse leg surgeon. And I went to shadow a veterinarian at a veterinarian school close to my home. And, long story short, that veterinarian really inspired me to choose a different career only because the amount of time and effort that you put into that schooling, I think it was 18 years, by the time I was done. Yeah, it was crazy. For the specific kind of niche that I was looking at, I would end up most likely burnt out and not enjoying what brought me to that career in the first place. And so I was kind of bummed, and I sat with my thoughts while I was in undergrad for a little bit. And I was like, what do I want to do? And at that point, pharmacy was a very different career choice than it is now, as in the market wasn't saturated. There were so many opportunities. So I started to look a little deeper into that. And really what piqued my interest that ultimately brought me to create a skincare line was I love chemistry. I love medicinal chemistry. I speak that language. I'm a total chemistry nerd. And so I chose to use all the prereqs I had that would transition over, you know, for another health science career choice, and went into pharmacy and applied to pharmacy school and got in. And it was the best choice I could have ever made, now looking back. So graduated pharmacy school. Worked as a pharmacist for 15 years, specifically as a neurocritical care pharmacy specialist, and then going into administration for several years before I created my skincare company. And I created the skincare company out of happenstance, honestly. At the time, I was 38 and had always taken care of my skin, but never really gone deep into antioxidant serums and, you know, different kind of focused treatments for my skin. So I bought a vitamin C serum, when I was 38 and paid, you know, like $160, $170, turned on the back of the bottle, was looking at the ingredient profile, and my chemistry nerd kind of came out, and I saw kind of an ester version of it, but not a pure vitamin C. And so basically I just started to deep dive into research of antioxidants and different forms of vitamin C and solubility and stability. And I opened up this childlike creativity and curiosity that I had put away, I felt like, you know, when I was very young, and went deeper into, you know, facial oils and linoleic fatty acids for skin health, and everything started to just really excite me. So I thought to myself, I can make a vitamin C serum. This is not hard, because the chemistry knowledge piece came easy to me from my experience in my schooling. And I ordered all of the ingredients and I ordered a couple of different things I wanted to add into a traditional vitamin C serum, mixed it at my kitchen counter with a little cute scale and started to apply it to my skin and told no one about it. And about 2 weeks later, I had some girlfriends ask me, what are you doing to your skin? It looks great. And I told them I'm making a bootleg vitamin C serum. And they were like, can you make me some? So it started very small, like just really playing kind of mad scientist for my own skin and then starting to do that for other friends. And I would say 4 to 5 months after doing that with no, you know, inclination to create a company, a group of my girlfriends got together and told me, Allison, you have the science knowledge. You are creating unbelievable things. Your quality is amazing. You should look into creating a company and going forward with this. And I think we were having a wine night, a girls' wine night. And I think they had given me just enough wine to make me actually pull the trigger. And I created my skincare company and I was still working full-time as a pharmacist. And by day and at nighttime, I was creating, you know, different formulas and playing with those and starting to create my brand and the aesthetics of that. And what did I want that focus to be and the mission? And I would do that until about 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning, and then be back at the hospital the next morning. I did that for a year and it started growing with friends and family and word of mouth. And then before I knew it, by the end of the year, it had grown so large without a website or anything that I needed to really sit and decide, do I want to see this through and create this kind of long-term goal of, you know, taking a left turn and with my pharmacy career in more of a non-traditional space and see what I could do. And I decided to do that. Here we are.
Yeah, I love that story. And what a great group of friends you have to really like, you know, see that talent. And from what I can see, I remember when you would post about, you know, you're in your kitchen or you had this like special room where you did all your concoctions and your all the magic, but now you've transitioned into a big warehouse. And I know you're transitioning your company to be more full-time. So I know when we see, and I think about this with a lot of amazing entrepreneurs, it looks very glamorous, but I know behind the scenes, like you said, you're up till 3 in the morning. There's a lot of grit, you know, there's paperwork, you have to figure out labels. What has been some of the biggest challenges? And then what is some advice you would give to someone who's taking the leap?
Oh man, I wish we had hours on this question. This is a loaded question, but a very important one for anybody that is choosing, whether it's, you know, skincare or pharmacy as the initial career choice, whatever that may be, anytime that you choose to, as I said, take a left turn and use the knowledge that you have, that you've built with your education and years of experience and turn that into a very different way and a different approach in a non-traditional setting to give back to people, there's a large learning curve. It takes grit and determination. It takes discipline, time management for sure. And those are things that the majority of pharmacists have because you won't make it through pharmacy school without those. But I would say for me, you know, I was so driven by this passion and this childlike creativity that I opened back up that I had, you know, really put away as a child, that my adrenaline and my drive and passion for that was a very large piece of what drove me. It wasn't money. It wasn't, you know, competing in a market that is so saturated. And wanting to be in the likes of Sephora and, you know, cosmetic market, detox market. It was more, what is my mission on how I can give back to people in a different way? Because as a hospital pharmacist, that had always been a piece of my day-to-day work ethic. And really what it was is the creativity and learning how to use my knowledge in a new, fun way. That was the number one piece. Then as I started to really learn about, you know, how you formulate products and precipitation and compatibility and concentrations, all these things we understand as pharmacists, It started to become easy to me, but also I wanted to make sure that I was making a mark in a skincare industry in the right way. And that goes beyond just the products that you create. That goes into who you hire, the mission of your company, what your brand stands for. So as I was doing all of these things, those were the hardest pieces only because I was a one-woman show and I'm wearing every single hat. And a lot of entrepreneurs or small business owners understand this, that in the very beginning, this is why a lot of small businesses end after sometimes 2 to 3 years, because they burn out so quickly because they are not outsourcing. They do not have a team. They are trying to wear all the hats, specifically in this day and age. You know, a lot of small business owners are content creators because they do a lot of their marketing, let's say, on social media, which is a whole different ballgame. But just being able to wear all the hats and also not be discouraged by the things that you do not know. That is a really tough one, but a very important point that I would want to make for entrepreneurs. Don't think it will be easy just because you're a hard worker. You have to surround yourself, number one, with people that are already very well versed in the industry you're going into. You have to surround yourself with the right educational tools and resources, that be podcast, you know, mentorships, leaderships, masterminds, anything like that. Those are very important pieces. You have to have a very clear idea of what you are wanting to represent and know that you cannot represent everything. I have a lot of people ask me for a lot of things, and I love that and I welcome that, but I have to make sure I stay true to what my mission is, which is to improve the health of someone's skin rather than just focus on anti-aging. But it's a clear mission, a clear view, surrounding yourself with the right people, learning when you're approaching burnout and learning how to prevent that, because that was a very big struggle for me. And the time management of all of this, it's a crash course in business owning. You know, I did a crash course in being a business owner, and wearing a lot of hats.
And you're doing amazing at it, but
wait, thank you, Joanna.
No, but I can imagine, you know, like you said, you had late nights and then you were getting up early and wearing all the hats. And to pivot on that, your social media account is amazing. So I don't know if you're wearing that hat too, but I love all your tips and I love just your graphics. It's so clean.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And, you
know, I do now have a really great team. I have a team of around 9 to 10 women. Some are contract based, some are W-2 like employees, and it's everything from helping me with formulations. I actually employ a chemotherapy certified pharmacy technician that works for me. She and her daughter both started with me, and they are my main formulators with myself. We're three main formulators and compounders, manufacturers. Then I have a team for shipping. I have a team for creating our cleansing bars. These are all women that have learned these skills through being employed with Imogene & Co., which is so important. And then I do have a really wonderful team that manages the creative side and the website management, and helps me with, you know, some social media things. But I do all the posting. I do all the answering, and it's a lot, but also knowing that now I can let go of those reins and turn things over to these women. This is the reason that this company has grown, is finally knowing that if I wanted it to grow in the right way, I needed to be able to let others that I trust and that had the skill set or had the determination to also be along that road with me. And I would end up, I mean, this is important for entrepreneurs to know, when you get to the place where you can hire, that's the piece that can change the game, because you can become your own stumbling block and your own preventative measure to growth if you're so used to wearing all the hats that then you're scared to let other people help you along the way. And I chose, when I was at the point where I purchased a warehouse and purchased property and I hired a team, I made sure I hired the right team that would be with me for the long haul. And got them really kind of educated on certain skill sets, and that empowered them. And so now they're bought into the company to really live out the same mission that I created the company for. And that's an important thing, that when you get to the step of that growth, don't be your own stumbling block by refusing to outsource because you're too scared.
No, that is such a good point. And I think, you know, my dad owns some businesses too, and he said the same thing. Like, it was hard for him to step away, but when he hired some managers and other people to really take over some of the middle level stuff, he was able to focus more on what his strengths were. And, you know, that's kind of really when his growth took off. And even like, yes, even with the pharmacist guide, you know, I come to points where I'm like, oh, I want to be the creator and doing all these different things, but I can only take myself so far, because we can't wear all the hats all the time and be a mother and, you know, have a job and
exactly
some sort of social life.
Right. It's so important. And you understand this. We've talked about this before. It's important to sit down and realize, where do you want your priorities to be? I'm a mom and a wife. And, you know, my husband really stepped in during those years of creating it from our home. I mean, I was up, you know, getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night for a whole year. I did not look like I needed to be, you know, starting a skincare company. I looked absolutely terrible and tired, but he stepped in to really help in, you know, parenting and cooking and things like that. And I realized that I did not want to miss out on that part of my life. And so when you sit down and prioritize, you know, I want to be balanced. This is such an important thing for emotional health. And it's a very hard thing for me because I'm an Enneagram 3, if anyone knows Enneagram, and they are workaholics, they're achievers. And there's a very fine line for an Enneagram 3 and burnout. And I teeter on it pretty constantly. But I now realize that for me to be the best version of me as a business owner, as a pharmacist, as a mother, as a wife, I have to balance. And that's basically allowing me the approval and the okay to build some boundaries around some things, to say no to certain things, which is very hard for me, but I'm learning how to do that now. So then I am giving my all in all the areas that are my top priorities. And so with a business owner, you know, wearing all the hats, and it's specifically, Joanna, for you, you know, I understand what you're saying. You're a pharmacist, mom, wife, you know, friend, a creator, you know, everything. You're a podcast, you know, a developer. To be able to have people to help offload those things, that is what propels growth, because then you are able to be the CEO of your life. You're able to be the leader of your life. And I've got a great team that allows me to do that now.
No, exactly. That's such, you know, to me, it's an ongoing lesson, but thank you for sharing that. So I want to jump into skincare a little bit and talk about the skin barrier, because there's a lot of chemistry behind product absorption. And I will say, when I started using your double cleansing products, that's really when I could tell there was a difference in how like serums absorb into my skin. But can you talk a little bit about maybe the order of products and the skin barrier?
Sure. So I'm very passionate about a healthy skin barrier. Number one, kind of most important thing for people to have healthy skin, no matter what their skin type is, whether it's dry, acne prone, or normal. So one of the main things that I've noticed as I've entered into the skincare industry is there's an overuse of harsh acids. There is very much a time and a place for alpha hydroxy acids, such as glycolic acid, lactic acid, as well as a beta hydroxy acid, which is the most, you know, widely known one and commonly used is salicylic acid. Very much a place for those. Those are recommendations I make for people of other products. I have a beta hydroxy acid product, but I'm creating an alpha hydroxy acid product for next year. But the main point that I want to make is, from a early age in our teenage years, when our hormones start to really ramp up and our skin starts to see the difference of what happens when our hormones ramp up, there's an overuse of acids and there's a push of acids that are too harsh for our barrier. what a skin barrier is, and it's also known as the acid mantle, is it's a protective barrier that our skin has because ultimately our skin is an organ. It is our largest organ. Sebum, which is oil, is a protective mechanism of our skin to protect against environmental factors. But there's a very fine line of the balance of sebum where it can hurt your skin versus help your skin. And what happens is in these teenage years, as our hormones are ramping up, specifically testosterone guides our oil / sebum production. So as we have this testosterone rise in women and men, then our oil or sebum production is ramping up as well. Sebum is more of a sticky substance, and it will stick to dead skin cells that hang out around our pores. Now, if these dead skin cells and the sebum get together and form this sticky matrix, they can be a matrix that holds dirt and sweat, which are basically water-based impurities, in the pore. So good cleansing, specifically double cleansing that I'll go into, is one of the key components, number one, of having a clean canvas to allow your treatments and other products that will help to keep acne at bay. That's the number one important thing to do to allow those to penetrate to the pore where they work. So sebum is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's being able to keep it from forming that sticky matrix over the pore. So if we're talking about acid use, like I initially started to talk about, when we use these acids, they do very, very wonderful things for our skin. They do everything from resurface to brighten, to decrease inflammation, to penetrate through any oil sitting on our skin, to be able to purge out these water-based impurities. But if we overuse acids, what happens is we tear down the protective mechanism of that sebum and the acid barrier, which then allows us to be more susceptible to things that will harm our skin and get into the pore to cause more of these cystic acne or acne breakouts or inflammation, that being dirt, but also sun, environmental factors, and kind of funk that sits on our skin in the environment. All of those things, if we tear our barrier up and we really use these overuse of harsh acids, it allows those things to come into our skin and go deeper into the dermis, to the pore. So there is a balance between the right moisturization, the right acid use, and being able to keep the sebum out of that pore without stripping it away, for lack of a better term. So double cleansing is the piece of the pie when it comes to a skincare routine that can change the game. And you mentioned that, you know, it was one thing for you that you noticed your product that you used after cleansing being able to penetrate better. The reason why is, if no one is familiar, or if anyone listening is not familiar with double cleansing is not using one cleanser two times in a row. It's actually using two different types of cleanser once a day, specifically in the evening, because we're going to remove our daily kind of the things sitting on our skin. And the first step is using an oil-based cleanser. This could be an oil-based balm, or it could be an actual oil cleanser. I choose to focus on balms because they've got a little bit more substantial fighting power, is the way I kind of describe it. So as you use an oil-based cleanser or a balm, oils will dissolve other oils. So that's really important to understand. If we used a foaming cleanser first, which is usually a water-based cleanser, water cannot penetrate and dissolve oil, but oil can dissolve oil. You can kind of see this when you look at a salad dressing and you see separation of ingredients and you shake them to combine them. That's because oil and water do not mix, as we know. So oil will actually dissolve other oils. This means it will dissolve makeup. It will dissolve the end of day grime on your face. It will dissolve residual oil sitting on your face, as well as sunscreen. When you dissolve all of those impurities or products and you remove those, then you have the water-based impurities, which is sweat and dirt, as I mentioned, more easily accessible by a cleanser to then rid those from the pores. And that's how you have a clean canvas. So step one is an oil-based cleanser. Step two would be a foaming cleanser, which is a traditional cleanser. There's very specific ingredients I like to focus on for the best version of a water-based or foaming cleanser that also help to not strip that acid mantle that I spoke about. So then once that foaming cleanser is applied to the face, it can push all of the water-based impurities out of the pore because now the oil is not sitting there to prevent the cleanser to be able to penetrate through. So when you have clean pores, you have kind of rid your skin of that sticky barrier that that sticky matrix, like the dead skin cells and that sebum. So when you use things such as a serum, a facial oil, hyaluronic acid, any type of cream moisturizer, they can penetrate to the pore, which is where they do their work. Otherwise, you're putting things on your face that cannot penetrate through the top layer of the skin and basically throwing money down the drain. And it's a big piece of my mission when I make recommendations or the education I give to customers for them to know that I do not want them to throw their money down the drain. I want them to be able to get the most bang for their buck. Because ultimately, I'm looking at this from a pharmacist perspective, that is an organ we are trying to improve the health of.
That's so good. And I have so much to unpack right there. I have a couple questions just because, so back to what you were saying about the acids, and I completely agree with you about like overuse of acids, over exfoliating, but I also use almost every day, I use, an alpha hydroxy acid. And I also have this product by Moon Juice is kind of, it's like a chemical exfoliant and my skin glows, but what would you think is too much? Like when would you know?
Yeah. We're all unique and our skin is unique. So for example, you can use an alpha hydroxy acid daily. Anyone with more of a reactive or sensitive skin would not be able to tolerate that daily. For me, I can use a beta hydroxy acid daily at a higher percentage than most folks. That doesn't mean that a teenager that has oilier skin can still use that same higher concentration beta hydroxy acid and not start to have flaky, dry skin. Everyone really finds what works for them. But the telltale sign of knowing that you're damaging your barrier and you need to back off the acids, whether that be down to every other day or maybe three times a week. Like I use an alpha hydroxy acid product three times a week. And they do wonderful things for glowing of your skin because they're resurfacing your skin. But the telltale sign for knowing that you are overusing an acid, whether that be alpha hydroxy or beta hydroxy acid, is red, irritated skin, tight, dry, starting to flake, specifically, and most commonly, this is going to be seen on the cheek area. Very, very irritated, easily stinging to even the most nourishing ingredients, even water for that matter. So it's almost like a windburn feeling, but it's that red, harsh, dry, tight, flaking sensation. That's when you know that you have damaged your barrier and it's time to back off of harsher ingredients, which would include your acids, anything such as a retinol, a vitamin C product. And in lieu of that, you're going to be using very nurturing or nourishing cleansers, facial oils, balms, a great multi-molecular hyaluronic acid, because you want to nourish the skin and let it calm so it can rebuild those skin cells back.
Awesome. I do think, you know, like now I think as pharmacists, you know, even for us, sometimes it can be a lot. And I know the general public, my mom asks me questions all the time, like, what do I use? And, you know, I see 30 different types of like vitamin C serum, which one is best? There's so many questions and I really appreciate you breaking it down. And about acids, I'm just going to like plug this here. It does make you more sensitive to the sun, retinols too. And we should be wearing sunscreen anyway, but that's another thing we need to look out for, right?
Yes. So specifically alpha hydroxy acids, if we're talking about the acid kind of category of skincare, does make you more photosensitive. And that's a very important thing to note, because these are going to be products that you want to use at nighttime and not in the morning. Another product is a retinol product or a retinol derivative. Those also cause us to be more photosensitive, which means that the sun is going to burn us easier. Sunscreen is the number one skincare product that is the most important, because we can do all the treatments to our skin. We can spend lots of money with any type of treatment, whether this is a synthetic treatment, you know, such as fillers or Botox, or more of natural skin health improving treatments such as, you know, certain lasers or microneedling. And then we can use, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars of skincare products on our face and be very religious about our application and compliance. But if we do not use a sunscreen to prevent the kind of the oxidation or the oxidative damage and the free radical damage that comes from the sun, we are throwing that money down the drain. End of story. Yeah, sunscreen is the most important thing. So anything that's a photosensitive product is traditionally best used at nighttime, and sunscreen is always going to be used day in and day out in the morning.
So maybe that can be your next product, right? Sunscreen?
I think it would be great. Yeah, I've had a lot of people ask, and I actually, which this would be the first time I've even said this, but I actually just received a shipment of ingredients that I'm starting to work on for a sunscreen for next year. I'm a really big supporter of a zinc oxide based sunscreen, at least 10% or more. And my newest product that I released is a scar salve that has a 20% zinc in it, which is equivalent to a 32 SPF, but it's, you know, straight zinc oxide. So it's a very white cast. So I've started to really work with zinc oxide. I'm familiar with the ingredient, but I want to create a sunscreen that has the tiniest bit of tint to it, so it is more applicable for people to use it without worrying about the white cast. The other important thing that I've learned in the years that I've started the skincare company is I don't want to put a product out just to put a product out. I want to put a product out that is going to be a wonderful option for people compared to anything else on the market. And that is a large statement, because there are so many products out there. There are products that you know, serve no purpose. And a general consumer might not know that. And there's products or companies that might put out 7 products and there's only one ingredient in each of those products, whereas that they could have put all of those ingredients in one product and then be compatible and consistent for someone. So for me, I really focus on, you know, the quote, killing two birds with one stone. I really try to put the right ingredients that work well together that are compatible in one product at a time, so people don't feel the need to have to buy 6 products just to get the same benefit that they could get in one product. And then number 2, I just want to focus on creating something that is better than, or a wonderful component for others compared to everything else on the market. So I don't want to ever put out products that just to do that. But now when the sunscreen, you know, kind of scene, I want to start to work on this and see if I can create something that I think is worth really putting out there for people.
Okay. You do not know how happy that makes me. because if you, first of all, if you do it, I know it will be done well and it will be amazing. And I am already ready to place my bulk order for next summer. No, but like you said about packing in a lot of ingredients, I noticed you did that with your eye serum, which I love how you highlighted that, because it is annoying to have like 4 different products, you know, and then you worry about how you layer them when you probably could put it all in one, you know, with serums or oils or whatever. And I also love how you said, I think you said this earlier on, how, you know, when you make a product, you want it to have a place But I also love how you said you're not here to compete with Sephora. And I really think you have this special, unique niche. Not only are you amazing and you're really, you know, doing this small business, but you have a great price point. And I think you really care about what goes into it. So I want to segue into your vitamin C product, because I think, I know earlier you mentioned the $160 vitamin C product, and I'm pretty sure I know which one that is, but yours is equally, if not way better than that one. And I remember after I used it for a couple of weeks, I've had several people, I remember one of my son's teachers, one of my good friends were like, "What products are you using?" And I all sent them your link. So can you talk about, you know, wasn't that your first product? And then, you know, I think going into the derivatives of vitamin C, how there's pure vitamin C and there's several different kind of forms.
Well, first of all, thank you for that, those kind words, and for sharing the company. I mean, it's funny, but it's so true. The best marketing there is still and will always be organic word of mouth. So thank you for that. But for me, you know, when I created the company, I had one specific value when it came to the price point. I wanted it to be affordable while also being able to speak to the quality of the ingredients. And it's a balance, but also as I've learned in the skincare industry, it is a racket. There are products out there that, you know, have beautiful packaging and have wonderful marketing because they have those dollars behind them. But I know what the margin on that product was to make, and they might have a 300% markup.
And oh, yeah, it's a business.
That's infuriating. Yeah, it's infuriating because ultimately I still am that pharmacist who is counseling a patient on a medication to, you know, improve their heart health. I am still that pharmacist in a room counseling a patient on their warfarin to help them not have a clot. So ultimately, when I came down to the pricing of products, I thought about people, customers, as patients, as in, we don't, as pharmacists, ever like to see patients that cannot afford to have their medications. That would be a life-saving medication. It's a very hard thing for me. It's an ethical conflict for me when I've seen in practice, you know, patients cannot afford medications that are life-saving for them. Now, skincare is really focused on more of a beauty industry, but when I started, you know, my company, I wanted to focus on this as a healthcare industry or a company for me, where I am creating products that are improving the health of that organ as well, which is the skin. Therefore, I do not want it to be something that people cannot afford to purchase to improve the health of their skin. So yes, it's a business. And yes, I'm a business owner. And ultimately, I have to make money to be able to create these products and to offer them. But I want it to be at a price point where people can afford to improve the health of their skin. And I think that's really important for people to understand. Number two, there is such an inundation of products, as I've mentioned. So when I focused on what products I want to create, if I look at certain companies and they have 40 different products that are just for the purpose of either a cleanse or a moisturizer or a certain treatment serum, there's usually not a need for that. There's more of a streamlined approach that I choose to take, which is really great cleansing, which includes double cleansing, a wonderful toner / astringent that has to have specific ingredients to qualify it as a necessary part of your skincare routine, an antioxidant serum to neutralize the free radicals that cause the breakdown of collagen in our skin, which ultimately causes aging and hyperpigmentation, a really wonderful moisturizer. I choose to focus on facial oils because they are basically free fatty acids and our skin cells recognize fatty acids. And then lastly, sunscreen. And that's really the basic approach of a wonderful, healthy skincare routine. So a vitamin C product, for instance, was my first product. It's still my best seller. And I'm so thankful to it for that reason. But I really wanted to focus on a great antioxidant serum that did the work that they claimed to do, but also include some other ingredients that other skincare companies make consumers buy separately. If people can tolerate ingredients, and if ingredients can tolerate each other in a formulation, there is no reason not to put them in the same product if they work in conjunction for the betterment of the skin. Now, there's a caveat to that, that when, you know, let's say that I was going to create a product, the Refine Eye Serum is a perfect example. It took 2 years for me to formulate that. That has the most ingredients of any product that I created. I think it has 26 active ingredients. If I took 26 ingredients that I had done no research on the compatibility, no research on irritation or sensitivity with combination of these ingredients, and just threw them all in a formulation, that's irresponsible as a formulator, because yes, they're all wonderful, wonderful ingredients and botanical extracts. But even if they play well together, but ultimately cause irritation in someone's skin, that's just irresponsible. So when you do combine ingredients, it's important from a formulation perspective to do this in a respectful way that also is going to help your end your end customer, which is the consumer. So there are certain ingredients that you're like, yes, throw those together. That would be wonderful, but they might end up leading to irritation. And so that would not be a great combination. But specifically for the vitamin C product, I focused on a water-soluble vitamin C, which is the purest form. One of the biggest missions of my company is using natural ingredients or naturally derived ingredients to improve the health of your skin. So the purest form of vitamin C, ascorbic acid, is what I chose to start with, and it worked wonderful. It can penetrate a little deeper than other vitamin C's, but there's a caveat. Pure vitamin C is extremely reactive to light and sun, light and temperature, which means that over time, a shorter amount of time than some other vitamin C components or molecular kind of ways that they're formulated, they can oxidize, which then means that they degrade and they will not have the full function that they can have for the skin. There are oil-soluble vitamin C's, which are better for really reactive skin or very, very sensitive skin. But for me, I really wanted to focus on the purest form. So that's ascorbic acid. Now, when you formulate a vitamin C and you're trying to work around this issue of reactivity to temperature, to light, also to time that it's mixed together, I tried to think of a very creative way to give people the freshest and most efficacious version of a pure vitamin C product without worrying about time of that product to oxidize and degrade. And the way that I came up with that is a kit. So, and you're familiar with this, when the Glow Vitamin C Serum is purchased, a customer receives a kit, and there's two of the serum vials and two of the powder vials, and there's a funnel, and the consumer gets to be a little scientist at home, and they mix the powder ingredients using the funnel into the serum ingredients, shake it, usually takes about 24 to 48 hours to completely dissolve. And in this way, they have 6 weeks of the purest form of vitamin C before oxidation starts. Now, if they used that entire serum vial the way that you're supposed to, which is a full dropper once a day in the morning on clean skin, that they will use that dropper up in 2 weeks. So you have plenty of built-in time to get the most efficacious version of vitamin C. Then the customer can mix their second serum and powder vial. So it's a full month, if not month and a half worth of vitamin C, in a really creative way to get the most efficacious version for your skin health. But when I created this vitamin C, and there's not a lot of vitamin C's on the market that do this, I wanted to focus on other things to decrease any irritation that you could have from a pure vitamin C product. And for me, that was focusing on including other ingredients that worked well with ascorbic acid. Two of those are ferulic acid and vitamin E. These are just other stabilizing ingredients that also help to decrease oxidation. But two ingredients you usually don't see in other vitamin C's on the market. You would maybe see these in separate products you would have to purchase to get the benefits is number one, a multi-molecular weight hyaluronic acid. And then the other is a very wonderful efficacious botanical extract called Kakadu plum. This is an Australian plum that has about 100 to 130, depending on what study you read, 130 times the vitamin C that oranges have. So you have two sources of vitamin C that work well together without increasing irritation in the skin. And then you also have hyaluronic acid, which helps. It's a humectant, which it absorbs moisture. It helps to pull those ingredients deeper into the skin and also plump the skin to give a more moisturizing effect. So that is probably why this product is, you know, our number one seller and it's so efficacious is because not only did I focus on this antioxidant kind of purpose of the serum, but also wanted to include ingredients that are otherwise usually found in other products, but they serve such a benefit and a purpose in a vitamin C product.
I always forget, and this is bad on me, that you have hyaluronic acid in your vitamin C. That's just like makes it even so much better.
And then I've decided to put hyaluronic acid in all of the serums because it's just such a multifunctional, you know, ingredient. And I love hyaluronic acid, the right type of hyaluronic acid. And so I include that in all the serums.
No, I love that. So in my opinion, vitamin C is one of those holy grail skin products. Are there any holy grail products that you have, or if you were on a desert island, what would you take?
Oh, that's a good one. Vitamin C is my holy grail. There are two products specifically that changed my skin as I was creating them and creating the company. Number one is the Glow Vitamin C Serum that we just spoke about. And number two is the Revitalized Facial Oil, which is a very strong antioxidant, heavy plant-based oil. But if I was choosing two products on a desert island, I would say a vitamin C serum and a sunscreen, a really, really great zinc based sunscreen. I just can't live without it. It's the most important part of my routine.
Oh, for sure. I just thought about this too. So I know that you can use facial oils with your moisturizer, but is there a benefit or is there a point? Is that something people should do or should they just stick with one or the other?
So it's really dependent on someone's skin. But the reason I like to focus on facial oils that I mentioned earlier is our skin cells are made up of a lot of different things. But one of the components is fatty acids. That is a component of our skin structure. And I focus on a specific fatty acid called linoleic acid. It's a really balanced fatty acid that all skin types can accept really well. The benefit of facial oils over a cream or like a lotion, a lighter moisturizer is basically twofold, in my opinion. Number one is the fatty acid component I just spoke of. But number two, a facial oil is by definition an emollient. An emollient is more of a softening type of product. It's not even really a moisturizing product. The moisturizing or the hydration that people get in a skincare product or that they need for their skin is always given in a hydrating serum. And the reason why is basically it comes into what the definition of a serum is, which is a water-based product. That means that water is one of your main components. And that doesn't mean that it's just water. It's water in the way of all the other ingredients in it are water soluble, and they work in tandem in conjunction with the water to hydrate the skin. It's the same reason, for instance, let's say I got out of the shower and my skin is still a little damp. If I put a body oil on damp skin, it locks that hydration of the water from the shower in and it pulls it deeper in. That's what an oil can do. So not necessarily by definition are they moisturizers, but they are fatty acids, depending on how they're formulated, a really balanced fatty acid, heavy emollient product that softens the skin and locks your hydrating serums or hydrating treatments in. If people tend to have oily skin, they also can benefit from a facial oil. And this is a hand-holding kind of tutorial wisdom piece that I use for a lot of my acne prone customers is I tell them, don't be scared of a facial oil. It's mainly the ingredients we need to look at for your skin specifically. So there's ingredients that are super, super heavy and more comedogenic as a facial oil, meaning they're heavier. They're going to clog the pores. The pores on our face and our skin on our face is very different than the skin on our body. So a perfect one that people usually know is coconut oil. Coconut oil is a heavier, very comedogenic oil, but it serves a wonderful purpose for skin health on our body. It's too heavy for the majority of people's skin on their faces because of our pores. But if we looked at something like safflower oil is a wonderfully balanced linoleic heavy fatty acid that is wonderful for all skin types and really does a great job of pulling those fatty acids deeper into the skin cells to improve that health, but also softening and not clogging the pores. So it really depends on what the ingredients are in certain facial oils for specific skin care or skin types. But when we talk about an oil versus a moisturizer, that's really the definition is an oil is more of this emollient softening effect, but helps to keep the hydration in from our hydrating serums. Whereas a cream moisturizer is usually a water-based product. But also sometimes they're formulated with things called cholesterol and triglycerides. And these are things that can be a little bit more clogging to our pores than an oil. So this is where I really like to focus the education piece of Imaging and Co. is I want people to know it's not about packaging. It's not about the company. It's about the ingredients and really helping people to understand the ingredient, kind of the importance of what ingredients are used, not just the feel of a product or the smell, but more or less really what the purpose of each ingredient is for your skin health.
No, that is amazing. I feel like you need to have like online consultations because I think you have so much, you know, knowledge behind each product that a lot of people really can benefit from.
Thank you for listening to On the Shelf. Join us next month as we continue to talk to thought leaders and change makers in the world of wellness.